If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
Calling all Philadelphia Eagles fans, whether you're in Philadelphia or you're just right over the bridge where they may be building a new 76ers stadium, or maybe you may be out of state somewhere in this country, or maybe you're from Brazil. Maybe you're finally going to get to watch your Philadelphia Eagles play Friday night in that Brazil game. This is the place to be. This is, look, podcasters, media members, and you maybe even, Victor, offended by what I'm about to say here, but whether you're a diehard or a casual fan, this moment right here is when everybody's tuned in. Maybe you weren't tuning into this show when we're breaking down whether or not Britton Covey can crack that wide receiver 3 spot.
Yeah, they were. The numbers say that they were.
We broke down just about everything here. This is obviously the Philly Pod, the official Philadelphia Eagles podcast of thelibertyline.com. My name is Stephen Conrad Jr., co-host, obviously joining, or hosting, I should say, as always, is Victor Williams. This is the official
preview. Did you call me the co-host? Unbelievable.
No, I labeled myself the co-host, and I said you're hosting, obviously, but here we are.
We're co-hosts of each other.
Yeah, I guess you're right. This is the place to be, guys. This is it. We're previewing it. This is the official game preview. As much as I love this team, and I know you do too, and everybody that is listening, this is what you're really here for. There's no shot. There's just no shot you cared more in the middle of July about Eagles-related things than you do right now. This is it. This is it. This is a road game for both teams. I don't care what anybody says. The Eagles are 2-point favorites, depending on where you check. Some people may disagree with that, but it is what it is, all things considered. This is a very interesting matchup. We're going to dissect just about everything. Speaking of matchups, we're going to dissect matchups, obviously. Both quarterbacks. Both teams do have some, Eagles have a lot of change. I mean, there is a lot to cover here. I don't even know where you want to start, so I'm going to pass over to you.
Both teams have, like, hype around them. Obviously, the Green Bay coming off their decimation of the Cowboys in the postseason. Jordan Love just got paid. He had the rise that he had last year. The Eagles, as we all know, looking to put the last half of the prior season behind them, move forward with all the changes that they have. So we're here to talk about the Eagles, obviously the injury report, players that will be without, because we're already dealing with that as soon as the season gets underway, as well as key matchups for tomorrow night's game in Brazil. Appreciate you guys for tuning into this edition of the Philly Pod. If you're new to the show, checking it out for the first time, appreciate you guys for doing so. Be sure to subscribe on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Be sure to leave those reviews, rate 5 stars. They all do help with the exposure of the podcast. So let's help us out getting us across to Eagles, the Eagles audience, I guess is the word I'll use, the Eagles audience, all the ones looking for new shows and podcasts. The numbers did great over the summer for all the nerds. I don't know what Steven's saying. Everyone's excited in the summer. Just kidding. I know we're all.
Well, you know,
it's game
like,
one. I get it. The hype for the regular season.
It's not going to get any higher than it is right now when you think about it.
Until the postseason rolls around. But the numbers did well over the summer, so we only have you guys to thank for that. The listeners, the followers, all that stuff. So thank you guys for sticking through it, even if we're not the most consistent. But we always make sure we get the content out for you guys. Before we do get into the nitty gritty of this game, game one of the regular season, want to shout out the good friends, the good old sponsor. Let's pay some bills, Steven, over at Autograph, their new app that just officially launched yesterday. They were in like beta phase for a while. They officially had their launch yesterday. They give diehard fans like you a one-stop shop for all content of your favorite team. Obviously for us it's the Birds, and rewards you for doing what you're already doing as a fan. Things like reading Eagles blogs, listening to Eagles podcasts, engaging with your favorite Eagles fan accounts on social media, as well as buying Eagles merch and attending Eagles games. For example, you can listen to the Philly Pod anywhere on any app like the ones I just listed, but when you listen on Autograph, you earn coins that can be redeemed for amazing rewards. And we have Run Reward right now through the app. I've pitched it on Twitter yesterday. A Saquon Barkley signed jersey giveaway in the Autograph app right now. If you're not with the app, you can download it via the link in the show description. We have it linked there. You can click that. You enter, sign up for the app with promo code PhillyPod. It'll let you in there, read an article or two. That'll give you the coins necessary to enter into that signed jersey giveaway. And then you'll have a chance at that. So a lot of fun things Autograph is doing. We're happy to partner with them for the upcoming NFL season. So be sure to download the Autograph app in the App Store or Google Play for free, all free, and use referral code PhillyPod to sign up. The Autograph app, where your fandom lives. So here we are, week one of the regular season in Brazil. Home game, they say it is for us. Really an away game. Reporters are down there, apparently not allowed to tweet. I know Zach Berman is like sending stuff to his family, and they're tweeting it for him and all this stuff because of everything that's going on down there. And the Eagles aren't all that thrilled to be down there either. Slave. He apologized afterwards, but he didn't need to because he said, I don't want to be down there. Devontae didn't show any excitement about being down there. A.J. Brown also voiced his opinions on being in Brazil. But it sounds like they're just going to play a football game and come home. No tourism, no checking out the city. We're just going to go play a football game. One player that didn't make it, Steven, that was on the injury report yesterday, officially ruled out for the opener, is one newly acquired linebacker, Devin White, a guy that we had signed hoping to revitalize a piss-poor linebacker core from last season that couldn't defend a tight end or anything across the middle for that matter. Devin White was signed to kind of add some speed to that, add some new blood to that linebacker group. And he, for what it's worth, he started alongside Zach Bond in training camp for much throughout the summer. But apparently, Jeff McClain reported yesterday that he lost his starting spot to N'Kobe Dean, and it was going to be Dean and Zach Bond starting in this game. And there was a chance that the Eagles were going to move on from Devin White at some point this summer. He's obviously still on the roster now, but he will not be making the trip for this game, and he is ruled out with an ankle injury. Sirianni said he tweaked it in practice earlier in the week. So, Steven, what do you make of this? You initially saw the report, Devin White is out, and then you see the other report saying that Devin White might not have even, probably wasn't even going to start in this game. Your thoughts on that whole scenario?
Well, I don't love it because I was super hyped up in the offseason about the signing. For one, the position was a major concern last year and obviously needed to be addressed in the offseason. A part of the addressing was always going to be the development of N'Kobe Dean, who is now, I guess it's safe to say, he's in a much larger role. Obviously, we were going to have to see come game time, starting in week one, what that role would look like, how many snaps he would play. Obviously, with him, we always believed in his talent. But the problem was he hasn't been able to stay on the field for a variety of reasons, mainly health injury concerns. But now you're down a linebacker. I'm not sure how long that's going to be. Maybe Devin White gets cut. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea.
Oh, I don't think he's going to cut. Jesus Christ. They don't know.
No, it just didn't sound great. I mean, maybe I'm looking into this too much. Maybe it's as simple as N'Kobe Dean outperformed him in camp, so it's not really like a shocker that Dean was going to have a larger role than him. Is that what you're saying?
Dean established himself as the best linebacker in the group as summer went on, especially towards the end. Now, in the few practices that I saw, Devin White wasn't bad by any means, but he wasn't spectacular. You just kind of didn't notice him. You know, he didn't like jump out. He didn't do anything flashy. So the fact, I guess he underwhelmed the Eagles coaching staff, more specifically Vic Fangio. And he was like, I like what N'Kobe Dean and Zach Bond are doing. I think they have a little more juice to them. We're going to play them and then rotate in Devin White.
The Bond thing is kind of interesting because he really was primarily a special teams guy at his former stop. So it's just like
an edge rusher at that. Like Saints used him as an edge rusher. And then he's coming here to be an off-ball linebacker now. He says he can do it all. And he's been primarily off-ball throughout summer. But I remember when he first got here and he was like, I'm excited to play the edge. And then he hasn't played the edge at all in the summer. So Fangio had other ideas, but Bond indeed played a ton in the summer. So it's not like it's a new combo. It's not like, oh my God, we have two guys who don't have any continuity with each other. They played together for a lot throughout the summer. So hopefully that looks good coming, when they play Green Bay, but not great to see. Like
you're
you
terrified now. Like, yet again, like last year, because what happened was Dean went down with an injury and we were screwed.
Yeah, well, that's because you had Nicholas Moreau and Zach Cunningham, like two players who were barely even on the roster, and now they're starting for your team. But the tight ends that Green Bay has, like, they have, like, good tight ends, but they're not really receiving threats. Luke Musgrave, Tyler Kraft, they're not guys that are going to beat you so much down the middle like a George Kittle would or a Mark Andrews or what have you. Mm. So maybe the Eagles can get by this game, but they're expecting a lot from N'Kobe Dean. He was slated to be the starting Mike linebacker. So we'll see what to make of that. But not good to see Devin White already missing time. Surely doesn't help his case to have a prominent role within the defense if you're missing the opener. You don't want to fall behind already.
All eyes are on N'Kobe Dean, you know?
Yeah, it is. You wrote an article on five players. What was it? Five standout players? Five players to watch throughout the season. I forget what the title was.
Did he make that list?
Did he crack that list? I assume he did.
Let me see. I have it right here. Top five Eagles players with the most to approve this season. Obviously, I felt like appropriate time to do it before they play. He cracked the list. Yeah, nice, two former Georgia Bulldogs on that list.
Mm-hmm. We can imagine who the other one is.
I got a question for you. Who do you think flashes more potential tomorrow night? N'Kobe Dean or Jordan Davis?
What do you mean? Like who impresses the most?
Who do you think when we walk away from that game Friday night and we break it down, who do you think impresses more?
I'm gonna say N'Kobe. I
feel like because Jordan Davis is like he's like an actual nose tackle, right? Like he's going to be lined up right under the center the whole game.
But we won't know unless he's getting sacks or pressures, but we're not going to know how good of a game he has until A, we watch the film like the next day B, you know, he has a ton of sacks, pressures, whatever the case is. But it's hard to tell when D tackles have good games because a lot of the stuff you're not paying attention to in the heat of the game, you know, you'll go back on film and watch it and be like, oh, wow, look at that rep. But you won't really notice it. Verbatim, Jeff McClain said in his tweet, N'Kobe Dean was slated to be the Eagles starting Mike linebacker before the team listed Devin White on the injury report on Tuesday. Dean beat out White in training camp. It's unclear what role the Eagles had for Devin White, if any, on defense. Nevertheless, he wasn't on the plane when the team departed for Brazil. And there was another report out there, I forget who, but they said that they had contemplated trading Devin White at some point in August, and then that didn't happen. So that is something to keep an eye on as the season goes on. So already linebacker draw before the season even gets underway. So on to the key matchups. We have about three. Oh, you have something to say? Go ahead.
I just go ahead. It'll get brought. I can't. I'm sorry, guys. I'm clearly the vibes guy on this show when it comes to this team. I mean, Vic,
what the hell am I?
Pours emotion into it. No, but you're much more of like the information guy, and I'm sitting here very much so like the vibes guy. I mean, it needs to happen. It needs to be this way. Because if I'm not that guy, I don't know who the hell I am. But I'm just nervous. I'm nervous about the defense. Because like obviously the offense is brand new and it's a new scheme. So with that, you'd expect maybe some growing pains. But like with the defense, it's a double whammy because not only is it a new scheme, but it's a ton of new faces there that you're asking one to run it or, you know, to play in the scheme, but also like, you know, develop quickly at the NFL level because they have two guys in the secondary who are both high draft picks, you know, that are expected to play a ton. So it's an adjustment, especially when one of them, your first round pick, you're moving them around, having them playing nickel, you know, like I'm just nervous about that.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
I understand. We'll definitely be certain to keep an eye on. And Devin White got replaced by KJ Britt as the season went on last year as well. He played on his fifth year option, didn't get paid, and just had a down year altogether. They were hoping for a bounce back year from him. We were hoping he was going to come out hungry, and now you're missing the first game. So not ideal. I guess we'll stick with the defense because now we have, to your point, we mentioned the defensive backs the Eagles have acquired. The Eagles revamped secondary against one rising quarterback in Jordan Love. The Eagles secondary was ranked 30th last year in passing yards allowed after being ranked first in 2022, and they plummeted because of the poor, because of the rapid decline of James Bradbury, because of injuries, because of health altogether, just a bad combination of aging players and young players that weren't ready yet. It was just bad all around. And then you have the Sean Desai, Matt Patricia, whatever you wanted to call that. So in comes Vic Fangio, in comes Quinyon Mitchell, in comes the back end on the safeties, in comes back CJ Gardner-Johnson comes back. Now we have a secondary who hopefully can get back to more of what they were in 2022 and not look like how they did last season. Jordan Love last season, 4,151 yards, a 4,000-yard passer. Wow, I haven't had one of those since Wentz was here. 4,159 yards, 32 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and obviously he beat down the Packers in the playoffs, and that is what everyone has prominently in their mind. I think a matchup a lot of us are going to want to see is if Quinyon truly starting in the slot, like Vic Fangio says he's going to. Jaden Reed is the Packers' starting slot receiver, and he runs a lot of jet sweeps. He's like their gadget guy, jet sweeps. He gets out in space. He's good with he's good and run after the catch stuff. What about this? As far as the secondary against the Packers' offense with Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks, what about the Packers' offense worries you most as it pertains to the Eagles' secondary?
Well, it's an interesting matchup, I think, due to the quarterback and their scheme. I feel like they're a very well-balanced team. Like the Eagles, they added a premier running back, too, to throw into the mix, right, who's dynamic in both aspects of the game on offense. So I think for me, because of Jordan Love and the receivers that they do have, they're young. They're all young. But the thing that stands out to me the most, and it'll be a good test for the secondary, obviously they don't have a guy on the other end like CeeDee Lamb or something like that. There's not like a premier offensive talent at the receiver position, but they all seem to be able to run. And I know that sounds kind of like crazy, but they can move. They can attack you down the field in the intermediate game. They can get schemed open. So it's like a combination of that youth, that ability to run in space, like you mentioned, Jaden Reed. I mean, all of them can. All of them can attack down the field. I mean, if you just go back and watch, like they're towards the end of the season, obviously in the Dallas game, they have a way about them they line up under center a lot. There's a lot of that like play action in the passing game, the boot action, and they have the ability to free people up down the field and attack in the big play department, you know what I mean? But they can also play conservative, efficient football. I mean, Jordan Love's got an arm on him. He can make every throw on the field. Seems like a smart player. So overall, definitely fearful of that. And like I said, with our secondary. But I will tell you this. I'm confident and I feel good. Obviously, they need to go out on the field and handle it. I love the matchup for the Eagles' defensive line against their offensive line. I know the rankings will probably tell you Green Bay's was probably, if I'm being generous, middle of the pack. I don't have it in front of me, but that's being generous. I think they can overwhelm that offensive line. We have too much talent, even with Jordan Davis being unproven. We have the guys. I think they can overwhelm them. I think they can win that matchup. I mentioned Green Bay's a balanced offense. They're going to run the football. Josh Jacobs there now. They're going to run the football especially. It'll be a good test to see where Jordan Davis is at, because at the end of the day, you know, you want Jordan Davis to develop and be able to play all three downs and have some pass rushing ability. But why did the Eagles take him? He's a run stuffer. He has to do that. That's why he's here. Fletcher Cox made a living here. Obviously, he's great at both. But Fletcher Cox, I mean, come on. The guy was a two-way nose tackle, whatever you want to call him. Mm-hmm. Jordan Davis, like, this is a game for him. This has to be the game. It's a good matchup. And when I say it's a good matchup, I mean the Eagles can get him. That's what I'm saying. That defensive line, they have to. They have to. If they want to win this game, I think our offense can win in a shootout, obviously. Like, this offense, it has to be good. It has to be top three in the league. But if this team wants to go on and make a late run, January, February, the defense, it has to be better. Has to have a better pass rush. The pass coverage has to be far better. Obviously, it all stems up front, and that defensive line has the matchup tomorrow night to do it. They have to win. The defensive line has to win tomorrow night.
Yeah, it makes up for it makes it easier to cover when the defensive line is able to generate pressure. I think the Packers took their first round pick, Jordan Morgan. They took in the first round. He was a left tackle, and they moved him to right guard this summer, and he didn't play at all in the preseason. So Jalen Carter should have his way with that guy, a rookie who's switching positions who hasn't played yet. Yeah, I think Jalen Carter will be able to have his way and get to and get to Jordan Love. The receivers are an interesting thing because they have Christian Watson. We scouted him a ton back in college. He's a guy who has health issues, but when healthy and is running on the field, he's dangerous. And they also have Romeo Doubs. Both came out of the 2022 draft class. When you look at the touchdown leaders from that draft class, Christian Watson, 12 career touchdowns so far. Jahan Dotson has 11 career touchdowns, came out of that draft class, obviously first-round pick. Romeo Doubs has 11 total touchdowns in his career as a fourth-round pick for the Packers. So they have receivers who have noses for the end zone and are certainly, you know, can't scoff at. They don't have a true, like, alpha number one. I don't think you can consider Christian Watson to be that. But they have a group of really, really good, productive guys that can definitely make some things happen if you're not paying attention. I would expect Darius Slay to be on Watson, Quinyon to be on Jaden Reed, and then you'll have Isaiah Rodgers trying to contain Romeo Doubs over on the side. Romeo Doubs was hot for like a 5-week stretch last season, and then he kind of cooled off as Jaden Reed started to pick up steam. But Doubs is a guy who can when he's on the same page as Jordan Love, he's a dangerous guy as well. And I believe the word coming out of Packers camp is that Doubs is Jordan Love's most trusted receiver at the moment. So those are they have some guys, and add Josh Jacobs to the mix, to your point, who was the leading rusher a couple seasons ago, I believe. So he had 805 rushing yards last year. He had 296 receiving yards and 6 touchdowns, and he had over 2,000 scrimmage yards 2 years ago. So gotta contain Josh Jacobs if you're hoping to try to make the Packers offense one dimensional. But that passing attack is nothing to scoff at all, Steve.
Nope, not at all. That's why I'm fearful.
They have, I said Tyler Kraft earlier, they have Tucker Kraft as the backup tight end to Luke Musgrave. I had just looked it up and I was like, that doesn't sound right. But they have him, and he had 300 receiving yards last year. So if they want to use Luke Musgrave to try and target and see, try and test these linebackers, they certainly have the ammo to do that. So the Packers offense altogether as a unit going to be something to try and handle. That's going to be a fun.
And that's what I mean. Like, he schemes these guys open a lot. I'm not trying to take away. I mentioned they can run. That's why he does it. But again, it just comes back to the defensive line. Like, if you can get pressure on Jordan Love, it'll muck all that up. They won't be able to do what they want to do. If you get them playing more quick stuff, running the football, I think it plays to the Eagles' advantage, you know?
Yeah, I believe so. 2 years ago, Josh Jacobs was third in the NFL in yards after contact and was second in the league in broken tackles. So let's try and wrap these guys up, man. I know last year was a broken tackle, was a missed tackle fest for the Eagles. They couldn't finish tackles to save their life. So let's hope they can wrap up Josh Jacobs, get him down, and then try and force Jordan Love to make some mistakes, I think is the going to be the recipe here.
It'll be interesting, too, to see, by the way, how LaFleur comes out game plan-wise. Mm-hmm. Like, knowing what you know about the Eagles, it'll just be interesting to see, like, does he stick to how he normally calls it, or do you think he takes more of a clockwork approach to keep that Eagles offense off the field? You know what I mean?
As far as LaFleur is saying? Like, what?
Yeah, it'll just be interesting to see.
Well, the name of every game is time of possession. Try and hold on to the ball as long as possible and keep the offense from scoring points.
What made them so deadly, like, it's why they caught us off guard against Dallas, is they kind of came out punching. Like, they came out quick attacking
Dallas,
down the field.
Dallas was caught off guard. What the hell is this?
You know?
And they had no.
And
I mean,
I don't know. Do you maybe?
I mean, if I was the Packers head coach, the longer I can keep Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, and AJ Brown off the field, the better.
It's like interesting because it's like obviously Mitchell and some of the other young guys that they have in the secondary have the pedigree that they do coming into the NFL. But at the end of the day, that they are rookies, so you have to wonder like maybe LaFleur is like licking his chops. He's like, we can attack these guys. Like, you know, if we rattle the rookies quick. Who knows, you know?
Yeah, I think so. Slay's the only really veteran out there, 33 years old, still the best corner.
Well, that happens.
So you have Quinyon, who's a rookie, Isaiah Rodgers, who's been out of football for a year. LaFleur can test these guys and see what they got.
Maybe it'll come back to bite them. Mitchell's ready.
Maybe Mitchell's ready. Let's all see.
Quinyon-Mitchell interception, huh?
Oh, he and Jaden Reed, that's going to be a fun matchup. But the matchup we're all going to be watching is obviously the Eagles offense against this secondary, more specifically AJ Brown versus one Jair Alexander, one of the top receivers in the league against one of the top corners in the league, a boisterous corner, a mouthy corner, but he backs up all the talk. Jair Alexander, 27 years old, still in his prime,
That's the matchup,
Jair and AJ. Well, they're gonna have their best corner shadow AJ, I believe. They're gonna put Jair on Devontae and then let the rest try and figure it out. They did add Xavier McKinney, so close, damn near Eagle Xavier McKinney. When I say that pen, I've mentioned this in the offseason, so to the listeners, apologies if you heard this already, but that pen, Xavier McKinney pen, was literally touching the contract of the Eagles, and the Packers swooped in last second. Offered him like $25 million guaranteed, and then he took that deal. And he was even loaded up on spot track as an Eagle. Xavier McKinney was on spot track like as an Eagle safety, and then the Packers swooped in like at that last possible second. So he's on that defense now. But yeah, Steven, I think Jair would probably be on AJ Brown most of the game. Do you see it differently?
Nah, I'm just curious because I guess I'm not sure. You know, how the Eagles are going to deploy their receivers and how Green Bay would react to it. Maybe it is as simple as that. I mean, you know, we feel great. We feel great as we do here about Devontae Smith. Outside of Jair Alexander, I don't really think their secondary is that good. It's another matchup, by the way, that I think even more so than the Eagles D-line versus the Packers O-line, I think the Eagles receivers can dominate the Green Bay secondary. I'm gonna just be honest with you. Even if AJ's being shadowed or whatever the case may be, they have. I'd imagine they're gonna start him at the other safety spot. A guy that I like coming out of the draft, another former Georgia Bulldog. Remember Javon Bullard?
Oh yeah, I wanted him. Bullard. Yeah. Nice. That's a nice little safety tandem.
But no, Eric Stokes is the other corner. I'd imagine he's the second guy, maybe the other outside guy. But I liked him too coming out of. What was it? Was it 2 years ago? What was it? I liked him, but he's solid. I wouldn't say he's nothing special about him right now.
Eric Stokes also went to Georgia, by the way, which is funny.
How about that?
How about it? But yeah, he'll probably be on Devontae. Their nickel corner right now is Isaiah McDuffie, so he'll be in charge of Jahan Dotson. However many snaps Dotson sees, we don't know how much of the playbook he's gotten to at this point, what his speed is on the offense. I know Jalen Hurts was working with him outside of practice to try and get him up to speed, so maybe.
Apparently, he trained with AJ Brown too, who doesn't train with people or something like that.
Before he was an Eagle. They asked AJ, like, "How do you know Jahan?" He was like, "We trained together, and I don't let people train with me." But Jahan reached out to my trainer, and AJ liked his work ethic, so they've been working out for a couple years now. So maybe AJ put the bug in his ear. Yeah, maybe AJ put the bug. One day you'll come here. But Jahan, who's wearing number 83 officially? I know we have the big number thing with Jahan Dotson from 87. Now he's wearing number 83. Shout out Greg Lewis.
Why do you do 15?
Can't wear for Steven Van Buren. I keep telling you, Steve Van Buren has that number.
All right,
retired.
Man. All right. Keep telling you. I'm supposed to know that.
He's supposed to, from the 60s, dude. Supposed to
Come
know
on, man.
I pitched on Twitter. I got ran out of town when I said this because you know how the Giants unretired number one for Malik Nabers.
Oh man.
So I quoted that and I like added like Donovan, like McNabb and the Eagles, and I was like,
Come
do
on,
it for
not,
Jahan.
Not that one.
All of Twitter, 500 people call me names, dragged me, you're an idiot, you're a dumbass, we're not unretiring five for a wide receiver three. And I was like, listen, I personally think retiring numbers is stupid. I don't know where you stand on this argument. It's stupid. What's going to happen in 20 years? Not going to retire? We can't wear any numbers. What's going to happen?
Well, I mean, it's got to be obviously a great.
I think it's dumb. Put them in like the Ring of Honor.
They
like,
don't
the Eagles
do it
Hall
often.
Of Fame.
I mean,
That's
as long
fine.
As they don't do
retiring
it like
Retiring numbers,
often.
Bro. Retiring. Like,
come
wow,
on.
Like, what if somebody comes out and they have a sentimental attachment to a number and you can't wear it because the franchise retired it?
It's not
so you
their
just gotta
fault.
Get, you gotta get over it. You just gotta get
that
over
shit
it.
Took place before they got there.
So you can't. So Jahan Dotson can't wear number 5. It's Penn State number because.
So wait. If the Sixers retire number 21, you'll have an issue with that?
I wouldn't have an issue with. I think retiring numbers in general is stupid. I understand the reason for it. I just think it shouldn't be a thing. No matter who the team is, the Philly teams or not, I just think retiring numbers as a whole is stupid. And I think. As long as a player is great, they should be able to wear the number. I'm not saying give like
well,
number
60. We don't
60.
Know. We don't
I'm
know.
Not saying, I'm not saying
great.
Give number 62 to some scrub, but I think Jahan Dotson is notable enough. He's from the area. He wore number
Come
5.
On,
We're excited about him. Let him wear it. Let him wear it. But all the McNabb fans, I'm a McNabb fan, so I grew up in that era. You grew up more so in the Vic era.
I'm
obviously.
Not even a fan of him, and
I know.
Think
like you're
okay
not even a big
him.
McNabb guy, but I just let him wear the number. Let him wear it. It's not that. I just retiring numbers is not great. I just don't think it's fun. You like retiring numbers?
Yeah, I don't see the issue with it. You're making an issue with it. I don't see the issue.
I think
it.
It's going
it
to get to a point
sense.
Where we can't wear any numbers. It's going to get to a point where we can't
no,
wear anything.
God, there's so many numbers. I mean, you know, the big change was the big change was allowing the skill players to wear like single digit numbers. That
yeah,
was
and now
big,
we're
like,
now know, wearing 80s is just ugly in general. Like if you wear the
yeah,
80,
that's the issue.
If you wear
yeah, I think of
80s.
A tight end when I see 83
yeah,
or here.
Like, come on. He wasn't actually wearing 87. Everyone's like, Brent Celek is a hit. And I was like, we're going to do this about Brent Celek now? Nobody can wear 87 because of Brent Celek. This is what we're doing. I think retiring numbers is stupid, personally. I think let him wear the number. Put him in the Hall of Fame, Ring of Honor, whatever. That's fine. We don't have to hang up the number.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Moving on to the next matchup, Saquon Barkley against, I guess it would be Quay Walker, right? The linebacker that they have. I can't just say the defense in general, their run defense, but Quay Walker, that's another guy, stout linebacker in the league, and it's going to be Barkley's coming out party. Steven, your reaction if the first handoff from scrimmage is a Saquon Barkley rush yard for -3 yards. What is your reaction?
Well, very good segue coming in that article I put on our website at thelibertyline.com, my top five players with the most to prove. There was
Saquon's
one that I thought
would
be... Okay, look.
Oh, man.
Maybe there's somebody you think's better, but I wanted to put.
What is he
one
proving
player.
That he's not like?
No.
What's he
just
proving?
Let me. We'll get there. I mentioned before I even got into it. This may not be a popular one. I wouldn't say it's controversial. And when I say most to prove, when you say somebody has the most to prove, it doesn't have to be a player that hasn't proven anything in this league. Because there's another guy on this list, by the way, that has accomplished great things in this league. But Saquon, in my opinion, has a lot to prove this season. I put him on the list because of my mental damage from the DeMarco Murray situation, as you just perfectly highlighted, -3 handoff to kick off the season. But no, look, I'm not saying that Saquon needs to come here and be the best running back in the league. I'm not saying he needs to come here and lead the league in rushing. Howie Roseman, who is a well-respected GM in this league, we all have clung on to his habits and his approach to the draft, free agency, and trades, and he did something completely out of left field, and that's paying top dollar for a running back, and that's Saquon Barkley. So Saquon has to come here and live up to those expectations. And what are the expectations? He needs to be dynamic. He needs to be a three-down back. He needs to be productive in the run game, good as a pass blocker.
Stay healthy.
Absolutely. Stay healthy. Please. Absolutely, which could somewhat be out of his control, which is unfortunate. And he absolutely needs to be dynamic in the passing game. That's all I'm saying. I don't know what numbers I would put on it just because...
And block, pass blocking.
Yeah. I don't know what stat projections or anything or whatever I'd put on it, because it's kind of hard to do that with this Eagles team. I mean, they got two number one receivers, Jahan Dotson, who's one of the best wide receiver threes in the league now, Dallas Goedert,
who
needs the ball.
Hey, what'd you just say? One of the best wide receiver threes who doesn't deserve to wear his number? Unbelievable.
Come on, man. But yeah, I mean, maybe you could do that. Maybe you could put better, more specific expectations on Saquon. But let's just call it what it is. It'll be really interesting to see the first time that team is in a short yarded situation, maybe more specifically in the red zone. We're talking 3-4 yards in. What do they do? Obviously, the tush push has worked. It'll
as
be
a
Jalen
Hurts owner in fantasy, as a Jalen Hurts owner, I'm hoping that tush push stays. But I think, wait, what do you think of this? Not to cut you off real quick, but I was thinking this to myself the other day. Are they going to be, now that they have Saquon and they're in goal line or goal to go situations or whatever the case is, do you think that they move away slightly from the tush push because, A, they have Saquon now and he's strong enough to get through on his own? Gainwell and Swift are kind of not strong enough. And, B, do they go away from it because why risk hurts his health and having him crushed in all this when we have somebody back there like Saquon who can easily get the first down on his own? Do you think having Saquon now factors into the tush push formula with Jalen Hurts? Because Gainwell and Swift like aren't really strong enough to kind of push forward. They're definitely not stronger than Hurts. Now that they have Saquon, a guy who's just as strong, if not stronger than Jalen Hurts, do you think they're like, we don't need to do it as much now because we have Saquon Barkley?
Well, it absolutely changes. It changes everything, especially when it comes to that. I'll tell you this, though. It doesn't mean you scrap the tush push. As a matter of fact, you need to show
it. I don't think they scrap it. Do you think they say, why risk the health of Jalen Hurts? Do you think that could factor?
Yeah, that's definitely... of course. That's going to go into the mindset. The first thing that it made me think of, because I recently watched, it's a docuseries on Netflix that they always cover, like college football teams, and I watched, I forget what it's called actually, but the one I just watched, I watched the Manziel one, and then I watched the one with the Florida Gators, and the Gators, like, there's a lot of comparisons, by the way, Tebow and Hurts, just because of their running ability. The Gators had their version of that play. It wasn't the tush push. It was really actually Tebow would just shotgun the ball and just run QB draws. Always their short yarded situation. And there was an instance where it didn't work. And I don't know that Gators roster too well. Didn't know it at the time too well. But you have to wonder, like, man, like it would be helpful if they had another threat there, even if it's just the idea of it. And so what I'm saying is you need to show the tush push, and I would hope that there's some variations there. Maybe you just line up under center, feed Saquon. Hey, I would really look at some Wildcat stuff.
Didn't they run creative. They ran the fake tush push like sweep with Swift at one point last year.
They did it with Gainwell one time and it worked really well. Or
I think
maybe
they did
that
it
was
Swift. They did
they
it
did,
with Swift.
They
I
did.
Believe.
Actually, 2 years ago in the playoff game against the Giants, if you remember correctly, they did like an end around or something like that to Gainwell on the outside, and he cleared like 15 yards because they just didn't see it coming.
I wish
something
the Eagles wouldn't bust those out in like blowout situations. Like they were up by two scores and they
Yeah, that's
like,
the other thing. I hope it is Kellen Moore calling plays. I do feel like Sirianni had a heavy influence on some of that, but no,
it.
My thing
Fake
is just
tush
like,
push. Let's do it.
Yeah, like even if when I say show. Like when I say show, like you need to, like Saquon needs to just at least bare minimum be out there on the field. Like let's not get cute and throw Gainwell out there on third down situations
please no.
or fourth and
more. More, Kellen's got to be smarter than that. Like,
yeah, just show. Put your best personnel
out
there.
If it's third and goal in the two and Gainwell's in the game, I am. I'm out. I'm done with this situation.
I don't know what it looks like. Like maybe it's
what scenario you couldn't even like. What reasoning would you even have for that? Like you can't say give Saquon a breather. You can't say pass protection because Saquon's the better pass blocker. Like what do you? What
yeah,
reason?
I don't know. I mean, I guess my next question is like obviously Saquon is Saquon. Like guy's unstoppable. But you know, man, like what if like. Is the tush push is so effective because it's a direct snap and fall forward. The problem is like, you know, it's a little different when you're turning around and handing it to Saquon, or if they go in shotgun, like, I don't know.
They could run the tush push stuff. And just have Saquon do it instead of Hurts. Like basically have him.
I mean, they literally could. Have him play quarterback. You're not wrong.
They could look
like they could get real creative with it, though. You know, which
they
should
have been doing it with Jordan Mailata or Jordan Davis. If you really want to, you just have them do it. That would have been.
I mean, you could get super creative, you know.
Yeah, yeah, but I think to your point, I think the Saquon stuff. I would like his season long projection should be around 1,200 rushing yards. I would assume behind this offensive line, I think that's feasible. 1,200.
What did Miles? Miles surpassed 1,000 the year we went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
right?
1,200. He had 1,200 that year too. Yeah, he had 12.
It's just hard. Like I guess it's fair to put that cap like that.
Miles Sanders, who's running back 3 in Carolina, by the way. Right. Now.
I don't know about even putting that on it because I said on that one few podcasts ago they're gonna be throwing the football. So I just,
yeah, they are.
I don't know. They're gonna be throwing the ball.
Speaking of throwing the ball, Jalen Hurts, all eyes are gonna be on him after throwing the most interceptions in
his
career.
It's an efficiency thing.
Last year, this offense.
Career when you high. Say,
what do you mean? What do you mean?
Well, like you know, you got up in here and said Saquon needs 20 plus carries a game.
Yes.
And my whole thing
was
like...
We're not doing this again.
It's just an efficiency thing. Like, do you really care how... If they score 40 points, do you care how it's done?
No.
So...
I'm saying if the game plan, like, clearly calls for running the ball and they're not running the ball, then we're... Mm-hmm. Like, why are we getting away? That's like the first two drives that are scripted or whatever the case is. You run the ball, it works. Then they just stop running the ball when you have Saquon Barkley. That would frustrate me.
What if Saquon in the run game is just, like, a glorified, like, distraction and it unleashes a healthy Jalen Hurts in the run game
What it was in camp a lot. Saquon would line up left, all the attention would go to him, and that would open up like a whole side of the field for Jalen Hurts. Like they ran a fake toss to Saquon, the whole defense ran there, and Hurts just ran the other way for a first down.
I don't agree with it. I would save Hurts's legs for the playoffs, but I mean, we don't live in an
don't run right. the ball. Jalen doesn't run the ball till the postseason. You would prefer that?
Yeah, no running at all.
No running at all. No, no scrambling.
Only way is if it's a Russ Wilson run and get out of bounds. Don't get touched.
Check downs. I said the most frustrating plays when Hurts is like running to the sideline and he does like these pump fakes and then he just like runs out of bounds. Like throw the ball.
Or last year, I guess because it's hurt. Remember he would just like fall down and we'd like lose a yard. Or
There's reports out that you know the stigma against Hurts last year was like he's trying to protect himself. Because he just got paid, you want to protect your investment. Let's run the ball a little less with Jalen Hurts. Reports are out that all that is out the window this year. Like fuck that, fuck the precautions, fuck the restrictions. Like Hurts, the leash is off. Like God. It's gonna be 2020. Like I get you first pay your guy, and you don't want him to get
this
hurt.
This dude, you gotta give him props. He listens though. He clearly
he fell before a player was in a 5-yard radius. He would fall.
Shit was frustrating. My only complaint with him in the run game actually is none of that. I think he's a very smart. Going from Carson Wentz to him, I have no complaints.
Carson Wentz is diving headfirst into a fucking.
My only complaint, and you saw it early in last year, last season a few times, is his ball carrying. Like sometimes he gets stripped. Like it happened week one against New England. It happened against Dallas. He had a huge run against Dallas in Jerry's World, and the ball just got punched out of his. Yeah.
I feel like his fumbles are fluke fumbles, though. They're not. It's not. I don't think it's from a ball security thing. I think it's from a holy fuck, I dropped the ball type situation.
Perhaps
like
or
the Super Bowl.
Two arms.
Like what is like? Was like the Super Bowl fumble? Like how did I? That was the flukiest thing I've ever seen.
No, he wasn't punched out or anything. I'm talking about when it is.
Yeah,
you can fix that. Is all I'm saying.
But the interceptions were a problem last year. 15 of them, as he was trying to force things.
You can't sit here and ignore it though. When I'm like protect the ball.
Yeah.
You just told me he's unleashed running the ball this year, so there's more opportunities for the ball to get punched out.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I can't remember a time where he's been careless with the football though. Like
I didn't even say careless. I'm just saying let's put attention into taking care of the ball.
I think they do though.
Careless was Michael Vick running around with one hand, just holding it with one hand.
Careless was LeSean McCoy. That man carried the ball. as great as LeSean was, that man would hold the ball out for anybody to take, which was funny at the time. Hurts trying to offend his interception total last year, 15. I remember the year prior he had under 10. We were like, damn, this dude doesn't make mistakes. He had to force the ball a lot last year. He was trying to make things happen in an offense that just couldn't move the football. Back there, we mentioned him earlier on the back end, former Alabama teammate. Were they teammates? I don't know. Alabama alumni, Xavier McKinney. He did go to Bama. I don't know if they were teammates. But Xavier McKinney knows the Eagles well. He had 3 interceptions and 4 pass breakups in 4 career games against the Eagles thus far. So he knows Hurts' tendencies. He knows how to read them. And that is going to be something to keep an eye on with this Green Bay secondary against Jalen Hurts. What are you looking for from Jalen in his first game in 2024, Steven? Oh, you just said ball security, so that's one.
yeah. I mean, no, because that's like really, because like, what we're talking about from last year, I put Jalen on the top 5 with the most approved, and I quickly mentioned I didn't think he played all that bad last year. What do you mean, what?
All right, go ahead. You think that's like, all right, oh, well, I'll let you talk. Go ahead.
Well, like,
I understand. I understand where
turnovers. At the end of the day, the turnovers were a massive issue with the team. It held them back. Mm-hmm. Big reason why they struggled. Not the main reason or whatever.
Hurts had to force a lot last year though. Like that offense was so bad that he was just throwing shit up and praying.
So that's my thing. Ball security. I don't even know if I put that one, but just being smart with the football, which I do believe is in his DNA. Mm-hmm. I just hope he doesn't try to do too much. Like Kellen Moore's here. They got a game plan, new scheme, got weapons. Take the check downs when they're there, for the love of God.
Yeah, please.
I mean I trust them. Like just be smart, play smart football. You don't need to be Superman. Maybe that's what happened last year. I mean, the offense was very stale, so maybe he felt he needed to be Superman and he got paid. I trust him. I mean, yeah, it just comes to that. Take care of the football. Be smart.
What do you make of the freedom, the newfound freedom he's going to have now at the line of scrimmage, apparently, that he didn't have when Jason Kelce was here?
Just don't put too much on your shoulders. You have great talent around you, and you have a good coaching staff. I mean,
you're speaking like you're telling him this personally, like you're giving him advice.
Because I am. This is it, man. This is it. Week one.
Like, if he was in this room right now, what would you say to him? Like, that's what this sounds like.
Oh, I would probably. That would be the last thing I'd say to him if he was in the room. But what?
Pause. All right.
I would motivate him. I would say, "You're the guy. I love you. I trust you." You've performed at the highest of levels at every level of football. We were a dick hair away from cementing you as an all-time great. There's nothing stopping you from getting back there, except you.
I think a big part of this will be schematic, obviously. A lot of looks are going to be at the Eagles' offense and what they do right away. Hurts was super accurate throughout the summer. He and A.J. Brown on the same page.
What if he's like
a
check down warrior in this game?
Like Brock Purdy esque, like he's like it becomes.
I mean, that guy got away a whole season doing. Everybody's like
MVP, MVP. It becomes yards after catch offense. Just throw a slant and let them work.
Fine. That's fine. I mean, we look.
You want to be a slant? You want to be a drag and slant offense? Just drag routes and slant routes.
I mean, get that. That better be incorporated. Make the job easier on everybody.
Smitty's the best drag route runner in the league.
but also, like we saw what these guys can do. We can play basketball. We can send guys down the sideline and throw lob passes passes to him. We can do it all. What the hell's? I'm not saying anything. All I'm saying is balance. You're talking about giving Saquon 20 carries. I'm saying balance. Run your RPOs, drag routes, go under center, get guys in motion, go down the field, screen the ball to Goddard, send him deep.
Yo, the fact that we are 45 minutes into this, and this is the first we've spoken of Goddard. He really is the like forgotten guy in this offense.
I want to see him used more in the red zone.
Yeah, that'd be nice. It's gonna be you want to see the Goddard and Johnny Wilson show in the red zone. That'd be good.
And I want to see the ball thrown in the middle of the field.
Yeah, well, I think we're gonna. Well, he always throws the AJ in the middle of the field, so that's not really an issue. It's just a matter of what's Quay Walker going to be doing, looking after Saquon or looking after AJ Brown in the slant while they're. But I'm excited to see where all the receivers are going to be lining up between Dotson and Devontae and AJ. They can all line up everywhere. It's going to be fascinating to see how this offense. I just can't wait to see just the first slick. Like we've seen it in summer, we've heard all the talk. Like I just want to see it in action of what Kellen, because a lot of Cowboys and Chargers fans are in our ears about Kellen. Like, yo, swear he's nice. Wait till you find out that Kellen Moore sucks. I'm like, how did you even arrive at that conclusion? How did this happen? Cowboys had the number one offense for how many years? The Chargers had Justin Herbert and friends on offense because everyone was hurt. When did we land on the conclusion that Kellen Moore sucks all of a sudden? Like, where does this come from?
They're delusional.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like the same Commanders fans that are like, Jahan Dotson sucks. But I will say, something has to go into the Commanders just letting go of Dotson, like for pennies within the division at that. I mean, a third is good value, so I'm not going to say pennies. But why were they so willing? Why were they so willing to give him away to a division rival? Somebody that they didn't mind seeing twice a year. Why do you think
All right, whatever, dude. Like, what?
Something goes
into
that.
We needed a better wide receiver three.
No, I'm not saying why did the Eagles do it. Why were the Commanders so willing to give him to a division rival, to a team that they're going to see twice a year? Why were they so willing to do that? That has to factor into it. Like it has to make you wonder. Like, is he like what's going on there? That they just got. I understand he's not in favor with Dan Quinn, but he's not a dumb coach. Like, if you see talent, you keep the talent. You don't just give him away to a division rival who already has talent. So they must obviously think that Jahan Dotson is like not good at the NFL level.
Yeah, you're speaking from the Commander's perspective. I don't know.
Like,
wanted to load up on draft capital. Maybe they got something.
Well, they have Jaden Daniels now. They obviously want to compete this season. It's not like they're punting and saying we're just going to stock up draft picks. Like,
damn season start trade. I don't know. It's interesting. I know what you mean, though.
Like something like a red flag has to go off at some point. Like, and be like, yo, they gave this guy to a division. I can see if they trade him to the AFC. Go ahead over there. Good luck. We don't have to see you. But they gave him to a guy, to a team that they have to see twice a year. If you don't care, if you don't care so much about a player, if you think so lowly of a player that you don't even mind seeing him twice a year, that means something. That'll be interesting to see. If he was wearing number 5, you know, it'd be a different story.
I still got my mind made up on what you said like a minute ago about Cowboys fans feeling the way they do about Kellen Moore, and I'm just going to say something to that really quickly. They were bitching all season. Well, I should say they were doing it all this offseason about their defensive coordinator. And what happened last year? I thought the strong suit of that team was their defense. They had all those interceptions. Like, they were going crazy. Parsons, I thought, performed great. Obviously, Dallas Cowboys-related things happened to him as the season winded down. But now they got Mike Zimmer's their defensive coordinator. He's way different. Like, that's just what they do. I mean, obviously, you know, we're different because we had two first-year guys at both coordinator spots. It's totally different. First-year guys. Yeah, two. Mm-hmm. So we can feel the way that we do.
Brian Johnson, who never did it before. Sean Desai, who also never did it before.
And not only that, like, we recently won a Super Bowl. We were just in one. The coordinators we got rid of got promoted elsewhere.
Remember Desai's first speech? Like, we're going to hit. We're going to be felt. And we were all over here gushing like, oh, my God, this defense is about to. And then they.
Well, Zimmer's got to be a different approach than what they had last year, right?
Oh yeah, Zimmer's definitely going to be a different for the Dallas side.
Worry about that. What are you worrying about Kellen Moore over here? You should be fearing us. Don't talk about
speaking
us.
Speaking of people that complain when this Devin White stuff happened, there's a good portion of the fan base that thinks Devin White is not good. But then the minute he got hurt, and it's like, oh my God, it's over. Like, you got to pick a side. Like,
is
he suck or does he not?
You
can't say he sucks and then cry when he's ruled out. You gotta pick one. You gotta pick one. I think he's good personally, but we'll see. We'll see.
Do you think Trotter has any role early on, even as tomorrow night?
Special teams, we'll see him. I don't know if he makes it on the field and defense, but he'll be on the field for special teams. I think he'll be a good special teams contributor. Mm. I expect to see him on that front. So I guess we will have we'll have one prediction for one player each, like one stat prediction for one player each. Then we'll have our final score predictions. But real quick before that, I don't know how many players we've mentioned on your list, Steven, but did Nolan Smith make it? I assume he's like the top person on that list of players that have things to prove. Nolan Smith is probably atop that list, if I had to guess.
On the most approved?
Nolan Smith, I assume he's atop that list.
Yeah, he was on the list. You might hate my list.
Oh, no. We'll run off the five.
The section I included him in, I guess I lied. I said top five. I included a sixth player in the final section, which included Nolan Smith. Can you guess the guy I
was the honorable mention?
I guess I probably should have said that. I sort of explained myself in it.
Is it... Yeah,
guess the player I included with them, because I feel like it's a little similar. Maybe not quite as much, but in a way it is.
Is it Jordan Davis?
He was already included, no.
Oh, an honorable. So wait, tell me the five players. Who were the five players?
N'Kobe Dean, okay. Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, Nolan Smith. Who am I missing? Hold up.
Is it Bryce Huff? He has a lot to prove. He has to prove that he can play on every down. Bryce Huff does.
Jordan Davis, Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, Nolan Smith,
N'Kobe Dean.
Is that four?
That's N'Kobe Dean. Did you write a top five list and only write four players?
Oh no, there's six. Guess the player I included.
So I see you said Jalen, Saquon, Nolan, N'Kobe.
Jordan Davis,
and there's a sixth. Is it? It's not Bryce Huff.
I could have, I guess.
Is it offense or defense?
It's not fair to. It's offense.
Oh,
it's not fair to include one of the.
Is it Mekhi Becton?
No.
Could have put him on there. Damn, who the hell else is it? Is it Cam Jurgens?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay. Well, I mean, he does. He's filling insurmountable shoes.
Like, so that was my explanation. Maybe it's not entirely the same, but all I'm saying is technically both guys are expected to be the long-term replacements for former greats, Jurgens and Kelsey and Nolan Smith. Is it fair to say Nolan Smith and Brandon Graham? Is that kind of what we're getting
at? Who's Nolan Smith replacing? It's not Reddick?
Obviously, Brandon Graham's still here, but technically it's like a high-invested edge rusher that we're trying to develop here.
Thought you were talking about like Jordan and Fletcher Cox, or Jalen Carter and Fletcher Cox, rather. That made sense.
Not putting Jalen Carter on that list.
Hassan Reddick probably not playing week one, by the way. Still holding out.
Bryce Huff, I mean, I guess I could have put him too.
Oh, yeah. He has like to prove he can play every down.
Yeah, that's a good point. In a similar way that I did with Saquon, but I just felt like, you know, a lot of Eagles fans got their eyes on Nolan Smith, though. He's the one that everybody's talking about because they were concerned about his lack of production in preseason.
Lack of pass rush moves. Okay.
I mean, at the end of the day, he was a first-round pick, correct? They got him at the end 30th. Of the first.
Yes, it's every podcast. Yes, he was a number 30th overall pick. Are you?
I just get it confused because it seems lately it's been the theme where they get a great talent with their first overall.
And they take whatever Georgia players
pick.
Left in the first
round. And
then
round. They always seem to have either an end of first-round pick or an early second. Yeah, and they got Cooper DeJean and Nolan Smith. Maybe there's another draft where it was similar. I'm trying to think.
Well, they took N'Kobe in the third round. So that's probably what you're thinking of. So.
Yeah.
Because of injuries and all that stuff. All right. Well, let's do a stat prediction for a player each. I will start with a Saquon Barkley stat prediction. I will say 22 rushes, 108 rushing yards, and a touchdown. And three catches for 24 yards.
Wait, say that again for Saquon?
22 carries, 108 yards, one touchdown, and we'll have three catches.
Three receptions
for 24 yards. Mm. That is my prediction for Saquon Barkley. What is that yards per carry? 108 divided by 22. 108 divided by 22. 4.9 yards per carry, sign me up. 22 carries, 108 yards, I'm in there. That is my prediction for Saquon.
All right, so there's a player that's just been on my mind a lot for this game.
Sacks.
Been thinking.
Just kidding.
But we can touch on defense. I'm just going to do offense because that's what you did for this one.
Yeah, go ahead.
He's been on my mind, and while luckily you went first, so I had to look up what the betting line was set for him. And I was going to make an insanely bold take, but I'm going to bring it down a little bit. He's obviously going to hit on his over, which I will explain. I'll just say it. 7+ receptions for Devontae Smith.
Oh my God.
It's 4.5 right now is his current line. Oh, I was going to be really bold and say more. Oh my God.
7 catches? How many times is he going to be targeted? 10?
Better be a lot.
AJ's going to have like 2 catches.
Y'all said it, man. Kellen Moore's coming here. It's like, oh, he's going to get Smitty in motion, line him off the ball, move him here. Let's go.
Seven.
And you said Jair Alexander's going to be on.
AJ's going to have like 2. Yeah, all good point, though, about Jair. Yeah, AJ's
going to have 7. They could both have 7.
Yeah, yeah. There's been games where they both had definitely like 12 targets each. So damn, 7 catches for Devontae. That's a bold one.
I think you're bold assuming Saquon's going to carry the ball 22 times.
Fuck no, that's not bold.
Let's go. Man, this is going to be good.
All right, so whoever gets close, we'll do 7 receptions, Devontae, 22 carries for Saquon. Whoever's like closer.
I'm going to lose this. Mine's so much bolder than yours, isn't it?
I didn't say I had to be bold. I just said 7
catches.
I
didn't put like a yardage thing. I just think, you know, 7.
Devontae's reception line is what? 4.5, you said?
4.5.
What's Saquon's carry line? Attempts line? Let's find out.
Saquon Barkley.
Saquon
rushing attempts?
Yeah, rushing attempts. They have a line for that.
I'm trying to find it. Rushing attempt, 15.5.
All right.
I told you, man.
All right, 15.5. Yep, 15.5. All right.
Oh, you betting this?
No, I'm not betting. Well, I'm saying so we'll do whoever.
Let's do a Philly pod player prop parlay. Saquon over 15.5 rushing attempts, and Devontae is just over 4.5 receptions.
We need a third leg, though. Like, 3 legs is a sweet spot. What's going to be
third
leg?
Well, you said touchdown.
Touchdown
for Saquon.
We'll do touchdown.
It's plus 110, it looks like.
All right, so Saquon, 15.5 attempts. Saquon, touchdown. Devontae, 4.5 receptions.
Over 4, yeah.
Don't get ballsy now. Is it juiced, or is it plus odds? Or is it plus odds?
I got to go back.
Wait, can we even parlay? I don't know if we can parlay attempts. Hold on.
Are you kidding me?
Right. Oh, minus 128 for Devontae. All right. Rushing props. Rushing attempts. You can't even parlay rushing attempts. It has to be standalone. All right. We'll do his yards. 61.5 rushing yards. Sign me up for that.
Which one worries you more, the Saquon touchdown or the rushing attempts?
The touchdown.
Yeah.
Anybody can
you got to think, like, you got to think week one. They want to show.
They're gonna let Saquon. They're gonna let him score.
They're gonna let him score. Like, they're gonna go out of their way to let him score a touchdown, right? Like, you'd have to imagine. Like, when they're in those.
This is it. Devontae over 4.5 receptions. Saquon Barkley over 61.5 rushing yards, and Saquon Barkley.
Why are you doing yards?
We can't parlay attempts.
Oh.
So that's the parlay.
Yeah, I mean, so it's got to be over 6. Yeah.
Plus 368 is the final odds. There's your parlay. If we cash it, we'll keep doing these. If not, we never even said this bet. So that's how that would go. All right, final scores before we wrap this up. I say I'll let you go first. I went first for the player, so I'll let you go first. If you say the Packers win, we can just hang up right now.
I'm just thinking so hard. I'm gonna say
what's the spread? 2.5. Yeah, Eagles minus 2.5. All right.
Do I like that? I'm going to say Eagles. Oh, man. I'm going to say Eagles 30, Packers. Didn't say how it's going to happen. Eagles 30, Packers 27.
I got Eagles 26, Packers 24. Final score.
26?
Yep.
We're going to kick a ton of field goals?
We are going to score 2 touchdowns and kick 4 field goals.
Wow.
man. Or we can score 3 touchdowns. Or actually, we could score 3 touchdowns.
A safety and
miss,
a field goal.
Score 3 touchdowns and 2 field goals, but miss an extra point. That's how you get to 26. You got to do the math. All right, guys. Any final notes you have before we wrap this one up? I think we hit on all topics, matchups, props. Yeah.
I mean, if that parlay cashes, you guys know where to come.
Guys, I'm going to come for more catches. That is this. Devontae, 4.5 catches. Saquon, 61.5 rushing yards. I feel good about it. And the Saquon touchdown. That's a good parlay right there. I feel good about it.
I mean, I feel like now might be the time to bet the Eagles because everything's so unknown about their offense.
Yeah.
Because you think you see Saquon and you see 61 rush yards, you're like, oh my God.
And I know that Sirianni doesn't have his hands in the offense, but he's too giddy to not be like, yo, give this ball to Saquon at the goal line. Like, you know he's too giddy. He's going to do that shit. He can override, like, Kellen Moore's play calling at times.
Over under 1.5 Nick Sirianni sideline explosion, like, celebrations.
Hey, over a zero, over a 0.5 Philly special attempts. This game. Remember when he did that shit in the 49ers game? In the home opener, he was trying to suck up to that fan base so bad. He's like, I would do the Philly special, and they fucking botched it. That's hilarious.
Oh, man.
Thank you guys for tuning into this episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you by the Liberty Line. I'm your host, as always, Victor Williams. Be sure to follow me on all social media platforms at the Philly Pod. Do the same for Stephen Conrad Jr. We'll be back after the game to recap, hopefully, an Eagles win to 1-0 as they move on to Monday night. Yet another home opener primetime matchup against Kirk Cousins. Primetime Kirk. Till then, guys, we'll catch up with you after the game. Go Birds, season opener. Let's come back home from Brazil with a W. Peace out from the Philly Pod.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.